since you like me. Cause it could go downhill. I can't promise that you love me, but you probably will.
Oh, these hors d'oeuvres are divine. What are in this crab? Ew, is it crab? Ew, if it's crab, I don't want it. There's nothing wrong with crab. I just don't want any crab. I don't like crab. It's okay to not like a thing. It's not that it's bad. I just don't like it. It's sea booger. And I'm not... No way, that's clams. Yeah, I'm drunk. Anyway, hey, what's going on? You're welcome to the party. You know, we decided to throw a shindig because we didn't do an episode last week because of the midterms and everybody was freaked out. And so what we're going to do is special double feature. Welcome to the double feature. Double Feech is the name of the party. I made it up just now. Actually, we just sent out an invite. And I'm sorry if you didn't get it, but I use MailChimp. And sometimes I don't go through and check to make sure that I've updated my mailing list. Sorry, but yay to MailChimp. Please sponsor us. You guys kick ass. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to go back last week. We're going to go back. No, it's good stuff. Thanks. We're going to go back to last week when we were talking about Whitey Bulger. So let's just go to the tape.
Would that be 2 weeks ago?
Shut up, Clark.
It was 8:20 a.m., Tuesday, October 30th. Coffee burning in a mug, steam curling like snakes into the general atmosphere. Only way to tame those snakes was a lump of Evan Williams, so I dumped a bit of brown coping mechanism into the hot blackness and took a drag of my morning cigarette and thought maybe I should re-examine my life choices. That's when the call came in. Whitey was gone. Said they found him in his bunk at Hazleton Penitentiary, West Virginia, wrapped in a blanket like he was taking a nap. Oh, he was taking a nap, all right. A nap with a side of fish. Said he was unrecognizable, beaten with a sack of padlocks until his eyes busted out. The report said displaced, but that's not how it looked. He looked like a ventriloquist dummy got hit in the face with a sack of padlocks. Anyway, I got on the next flight out of Boston for West Virginia. See, I'm a Worcester guy. And by that I mean I was there once for a wedding. Mostly for the seafood. Foley and Sons is right down the road, and you gotta get after their whole-bellied clams. They're world famous, near perfect on TripAdvisor. But that doesn't mean I wasn't gonna pay my respects to a guy from Saudi. I mean, I had to fly to Boston first in order to actually fly out of Boston, which wasn't too bad. It's 2:40 on America, and then 2+ hours, you know, from Chicago. But it's worth it from the clams. And then you got to get to Pittsburgh, and that's around 105 on America, and then 2 hours on the plane. And then it's an hour and a half drive to Hazleton. But you get to drive through Cooper's Rock, which is hella nice in the fall. Anyway, all in all, it's like 400 plus and about 7 hours total travel time. It's going to be a trek, but you got to show respect. On the plane, I got to thinking as the clouds flew by, it's a scary world out there. But when you got friends, it ain't bad. Maybe Whitey had friends, so it wasn't so scary. And maybe his friends had friends, which made all the other scary shit okay. I figured I'd get a drink from the flight attendant. Seemed like the right thing to do. And drift off, thinking how the fuck I even knew who Whitey Bulger was. First time I ever heard of the man was because of that Martin Scorsese movie, The Departed, the R is silent. But that's because I Googled it. I didn't actually see it because I have shit to do. But I wanted to be able to talk about it at parties because everybody was talking about it. Turns out they used Whitey Bulger as an inspiration for Jack Nicholson's performance, which was really surprising because it looked like they just got Jack drunk and let him loose on the set, which was also probably what happened. But who the fuck was Whitey Bulger? He sounded like an ancient baseball player that was probably in the group scenes in Field of Dreams. Like, I should know who that is, but I didn't? Turns out that's because I don't regularly listen to true crime podcasts, because why not do something fun? Then Johnny Depp played him in that movie, Black Mass, that your friend that always dresses like it's 1965 was weirdly excited about. I saw that one, and holy shit, Whitey Bulger was scary as fuck. I totally get now why you all watch crime documentaries about scary as fuck people. It's hot for some reason. Turns out James Joseph Bulger Jr. from South Boston, born in 1929, hung around that time when everyone in South Boston dressed like cartoon burglars in a Disney movie. He started working in his teens as a professional, quote, fist-fighting thief, which is also the name of my ska band. His brother Bill got really good grades and would go on to become the president of Massachusetts Senate for 18 years, which is the longest in history. Jimmy, on the other hand, was too busy living that Russell Crowe life and went on to become a bookie and a loan shark. Like if all the characters on The Sopranos fused together into a fist. And he would hand out turkeys to his neighbors on Thanksgiving and helped older folks cross the street, because he's not a bad guy, he's just working through some things by basically beating the shit out of everybody in Boston for looking at him funny. He robbed banks along the eastern coast, and then in Indiana, because if you're gonna lay low after kicking the entire coastline in the dick, best go to Indiana, where the entire state sometimes forgets where it is. He went to jail for about 10 years total during his grown-up times. At one point, while doing a stretch in Atlanta, he claimed he volunteered for a study and was given regular doses of LSD in prison as part of the CIA's psychedelic drug experiment called MKUltra, which is when the CIA gave drugs to people to see if they could control the mind in 1957. Yeah, that happened, by the way. That is a thing that happened. Then in 1959, he was transferred to Alcatraz. Yes, that Alcatraz. Yes, The Rock. Calm down. But when a writer named William Esslinger reached out to him to describe his time there for a book he was working on, Bulger wrote back, quote, "If I could choose my epitaph on my tombstone, it would be I'd rather be in Alcatraz," end quote. He loved it so much that later in his life, he would go back as a tourist. Then came the 70s when he got out and about and took over the Winter Hill Gang in Boston, which is one of the most powerful gangs on the East Coast next to the Patriarch of Crime family, with which Bulger kept in correspondence, often ending his letters, quote, "with love, Jimmy." P.S. He hated the name Whitey, which the FBI gave him because he had blonde hair. He preferred the name Boots because he wore cowboy boots. Because if you're going to kick someone in the face, why not do it with style? Eventually, Bulger became an informant for the FBI, ratting out the Patriarch of Crime family, so now the Winter Hill Gang was on top. And, well, if the idea of a fist-fighting thief Donkey Konging all of Boston while ripped on LSD, becoming the most powerful mobster on the East Coast while working for the FBI so that every time he ordered a hit, he was granted immunity, and because of that, he ordered so many hits, he developed a reputation for just shooting people between the eyes, doesn't freak you out. In 1994, the feds were moving in on him after he was brought up on racketeering charges, and his partner, FBI agent John Connolly, tipped him off, and Bulger went on the run for 16 years, topping the FBI's most wanted list along with, yup, Osama bin Laden. So, yeah, the answer to who the fuck is Whitey Bulger is, you don't know who the fuck Whitey Bulger is. You never heard of him. You got the wrong guy. And then in 2011, the police caught him in Santa Monica, California, and in 2013, he was found guilty of 11 of the 19 murders he was charged with, plus 31 other counts, including money laundering, racketeering, and a bunch of other shit, and he was given 2 life sentences, which is just the best kind of fuck you a judge can give. Because if, like, somehow you live the rest of your life in prison, but you secretly meet a leprechaun, and it granted you a wish, and your wish was to live again, fuck you, tough guy, that's the law. And then in 2018, he was transferred to the troubled Hazleton Penitentiary in West Virginia. Troubled because it was understaffed. Understaffed because Trump, because federal spending, vote in the midterms. Which all the union bosses claimed was basically a death sentence, and they were right. On October 29th, Whitey Bulger was cornered and beaten to death by a group of inmates, who then wrapped him in a blanket and planted him in his cell where he was found Tuesday morning.
And as my plane landed in Logan Airport, Massachusetts, all I could think was, I guess he died like he lived? Anyway, it's a scary world. You need friends. And if a serial beating, head shooting, professional nightmare ripped on government acid that would rather be in Alcatraz than dead could have enough of them to make it to 89, well, then there's hope for us all. As for me, well, turns out I really didn't know who the fuck Whitey Bulger was, and I'm okay with that. So I never made it to West Virginia. I just got off in Boston and drove to Worcester and got after those fucking clams. I love you. Good night.
Yeah, no, so it turns out I do like clams. I was thinking of oysters. They are sea boogers. They're the boogers of the sea. Mussels I'm okay with. In fact, do we have any mussels? Because I the shit out of some mussels right now. And the butter? Fucking awesome. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Or behind. Anyway, we're drunk and it's a party. Hey, stop thinking. That's the first thing you gotta do. Second thing you gotta do is stop worrying about it. Because worrying is just, it's gonna give you cramps. What you should do instead is like, write it down. Write a list down. What's the problem? Well, how am I gonna fix it? Then you won't make a mistake like you said openly that you hate clams, when in reality that's patently false. I like scallops. Do you have scallops? No? Yeah, I'm not gonna eat any oysters. Y'all are so fucking into oysters. People ask me, hey, you wanna go to this Chicago too. There's everywhere in Chicago. You wanna go get oysters? I'm like, why? They're like, oh, they're so good at Mariano's. I'm like, why would you wanna chance it? Like, you're just asking for it, man. Just having a little sea snot that might give me diarrhea, who knows? Anyway, look, we're gonna have mussels. I'm gonna order some. And while I do that, we're gonna talk about what we talked about last week, which was space! Yeah, I'll have another drink.
It's getting crowded in here, people! People are cramming together, huddling, if you wanna be particular about it. And duh, that's because winter's coming. But winter comes every year, so maybe make a little room. Anyone ever wonders why Red Zone's on the map voted the way they did this midterm? Just look at where they are. Chances are most of them are not in a city. Because when you're in a city and winter's coming and you gotta take the train, you learn pretty fucking quick how to deal with all flavors of humans, including their smells. Because when it is 20 below and you're wrapped in 9 layers of flannel, sweating into your seatmate's general atmosphere, you get pretty open-minded. Meanwhile, if you're in the burbs and live your life in a climate-controlled car and home like you're a fucking cigar, you stop giving a shit about other people, because why should you? You gotta go from work to home to bar and back like an astronaut. No time to change, no need to adjust, you make the world your own. So yeah, people in that airspace are gonna vote funky. So just remember that come next election and teach that cool Jedi-level attitude you develop living in the crowd. But for real, it's too fucking crowded. Maybe we should go back into space. Space! The final frontier. Space! A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Space! That place where no one can hear you scream. Since 1957, when the Soviet Union launched Sputnik into the spacesphere, pissing off Dwight D. Eisenhower, a.k.a. Ike, whom we like, because he was a little bit nervous that the Cold War kids were launching shit into orbit, which anyone with an older brother who just got a drone for Christmas can totally relate to. But he didn't want to start any shit, since technically space does not belong to any one country, despite what your drunk Uncle Patriot has to say about it at Thanksgiving. In reality, which is where we live, there's a few steps from America to space. There's the ground, which is where you are, presumably right now, unless you're in an airplane, in which case, you're in the troposphere. You go a little higher, try to avoid those weather balloons that are just chilling like jellyfish, the fun kind, not the stinging kind. That's the stratosphere. And then up, 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 and away into the tantalizingly sexy land of meteor showers called the mesosphere. And then you keep going, baby, until you hit the thermosphere, where the aurora borealis dances its sassy dance like a bedsheet unfurling, inviting you to lie down in the bed of celestial sassity, where space shuttles hang out in orbit. Man, oh yeah, we're going all the way tonight, baby. Can you take me higher? You bet your sweet Scott staff you can. 10,000 kilometers, which is 6,214 miles. Up there, you will find the exosphere. And from there, well, no spoilers, it's space. So where's the line, Ike? When is America space? Turns out, at about 100 kilometers, which is 62.1 miles for those of you still drinking hams. That's about where aeronautical vehicles stop being able to travel because the air is too thin. And even though thin crust is far superior, that's a fact, look it up, don't at me. Planes need deep dish atmosphere to fly. So that's about where it stops being your airspace and becomes the gods. That's called the Kármán line. And since Sputnik was hanging 588 miles up, 947 kilometers, for those of you that think Helvetica is the most sensuous font. And that's past the Kármán line, that's out of your jurisdiction, Ike, and the Soviet Union was like, deuces, and the space race began. And since then, humanity has been obsessed with getting up into the blackness, even though there's really not all that much to do. It's kind of cold, kind of dull, after an hour, unless you know what you're doing, and it's cluttered with old shit. Space is the Cracker Barrel of your existence. And like the Cracker Barrel, it's been around forever, since the beginning of time, and we don't know all that much about it or how it got there, but damn, we're trying. Trying being an understatement, because going to space is like going to Australia. It takes forever, it's crazy expensive, and when you get there, time just ceases to exist, and the atmosphere wants to kill you. Anyone who saw Interstellar knows what happens if you fuck around in space. Everyone on Earth gets older because time moves faster, so even though you're a 30-something hanging out with Matt Damon on an ice planet, your kids are having kids back home. So there's no time to nurse that Lone Star McConaughey. You're in space, shake a leg. And until we have someone in the White House that believes in science, it's going to be a while until we're all body-hugging in our velour uniforms, drinking and hanging out with green ladies and three-headed diplomats. That's the future liberals want, and that future is space. Best you can do right now is look from afar like a pervy teenager in a 1950s comic. The telescope. From the Greek word telescopus, meaning a thing that looks far, because sometimes things aren't as advertised. It was first applied to be patented in 1608 by a spectacle maker named Hans Lepperche in the Netherlands, and then Galileo, who just happened to be in Venice at the time, heard the word, and in 1609 made his very own version, and well, you can Google the rest. Flash forward to 2008, when the Panoramic Survey Telescope and Response System, PAN-STAR if you're nasty, at their Site 1 in Haleakala Observatory in Hawaii went online, and 9 years later, after scanning everything at night for anything that moves funny, on October 19th, 2017, it discovered something funky out there in space. Coming straight out of the constellation Lyra, on September 9th, something passed close to the sun inside the orbit of Mercury. And even though they missed spotting it on October 14th, when it came 50 million miles close to Earth, which is why you gotta stop looking at your phone when we're watching a movie. What is the fucking point of even going to the movies if you're just gonna play words with friends? You don't have to answer the text chain. You can mute that. There's comets happening right now. And they're not Easter eggs, they're plot points. Anyway. When they got their shit together, they found that this weird object was moving way too fast to be the usual space jazz. This is rock and roll, baby. And they called that weirdo Oumuamua, meaning scout from the distant past reaching out to us. They figured it was long and narrow, about a half a mile long. They figured that because its brightness. Kind of like how you know, even though it's dark and you're high as fuck, the difference between your phone light and the cops. Also... Also, based on that it's reasonable to assume it's made of charcoal because of the way the light reflects off of it. And what makes this little space rocker so strange was how the light was reflecting. It wasn't your standard on-off deal like when you were a kid and your neighbor kept popping flashlights at you at night, prompting you both to learn Morse code, which is ridiculous. You just call each other or walk across the street, lazy bitches, put your phone down! Anyway, The light was blinking funny, and they figured that because it just wasn't spinning right or shooting off gas like a comet. It was wobbling, which they figured because it was violently kicked out of whatever solar system it came from. Because it certainly wasn't because the reflecting light was picking up anything from our solar system. It was picking up stuff on the red spectrum. You bored yet? Too bad, Brohammer. This is space. It's complicated. So yeah, that red, dusty, drunk-ass, wobbly lunatic ain't from around here. And after more tests, they figured it might actually be more like a flat disk, but they have no idea what it's actually made of. And no one really knows what it is or why it is, but it might be leftover debris from an exploding star. But here's the Shyamalan twist. According to a paper written this month, they cannot prove it is natural. And that is science for old. So they decided to listen for a radio signal, but there's nothing coming from it for now. So like all things in space, Papa Umaumaua is just a floating space turd from another solar system that's a bitch to get to. But what if that space turd was a spaceship? And what if we could get its attention? And that's hard to do. Anyone who's ever tried to wave down a lift when it's like six blocks in the wrong direction knows that. But as of November 7th, 2018, researchers at MIT have figured out that modern lasers could be repurposed as a planetary porch light, able to grab attention from as far as 200,000 light years away. So, basically, the infrared laser beacons will be used using today's technology to send rudimentary messages into deep space. It's pretty fucking simple. You pop a 1 to 2 megawatt laser focus through a 20 to 45 meter, that's 100 to 150 feet for those of you who refuse to shop at IKEA, telescope, creating a beam of infrared radiation powerful enough to stand out from the energy produced by the sun, which, if there are any extraterrestrial peeps, packs the escosphere with scopes of their own, will definitely see. And like your neighbor playing light boops across the street, we could both start communicating. Now granted, the messages would be received years apart, so we gotta talk real slow. But if they pick up the signal, that could be the first step in figuring out who or what is out there in that darkness. What are the secrets waiting for us out there? What have they learned? What's the weather like? And is this half-mile red thing yours? Can you pick it up? It's a little close to our planet. No harm, no foul, but like, come get your shit. And also come get us. Because it's getting crowded here, and winter is coming. Space is out there, people, and it is big and it is strange. So keep your eyes to the sky and support the people that believe in science. Because they might indeed have a way out. I love you. Good night.
Oh, there you have it. We did it. Double feature. It's our first double episode. I mean, you know, the themes didn't really collide. I think we learned some things. We learned that clams are not oysters, and that I like them, not the oysters, the clams. And that we learned about space, and that's also important because it's always there, even after the party. Space is the after party. That's where we're going, Clark. We're going to space. Did you call me a Lyft? Because I have not. Anyway, thanks for listening and hanging out with us at the famous Chad double feature party. It's not normally like this, but like we had to catch up because midterms messed us up. Special thanks to the Barracudas for that song you heard at the beginning. It's called Promises, and it ain't no lie. Come to the Green Mill every Saturday at 3 o'clock. That's where we do the part where we're getting yelled at by people that are drunk in the audience. And then when we do this part, that's at Bender Studios, located somewhere beneath Earth's crust. Email me at thebirdchat@gmail.com. Find me at Facebook and on Instagrams. I'm all over the place. And be you. Just keep on keeping on. I forgot what we were talking about. So I'm gonna get in a car and pass out. See y'all next week with more knowledge. I ate too many clams.